killings of all uncarefully planned.
Women are much more likely to methodically plan out the murder of someone that they want dead.
The perfect daughter has something to hide.
It was irrational. It was cold. That's how Wendy's mind worked.
A star student invites death to dinner.
This was a psychotic belief which she could not be talked out of.
And a man in uniform is a man in danger.
My heart was pounding. I said, something's up. Something's up.
When these women had a problem, their solution was murder in cold blood. It's after midnight on the edge of a ranch stock pond in Texas. Wendy Davidson has something she desperately needs to hide.
She knew that if she dumped him in water, his body would rise to the surface pretty fast. So she gathered some heavy auto parts and concrete blocks and things. She tied these things to his body.
The body belongs to her husband, Air Force Sergeant Michael Severance.
This man was a hero. He survived 5 tours of duty in the Middle East. And yet, he couldn't survive 5 months of marriage to that woman.
And looks like a smart, successful vet.
Open your teeth. Okay, open wide. Good dog.
But Wendy's family makes life complicated. Wendy has been married to Michael Severance for 5 months. But no matter how hard he tries, Michael can never satisfy his new mother-in-law.
Wendy was very torn by the conflict between her parents and Michael. Wendy was tied to her parents. They were helping her financially to get her practice going. Her mother was working in the clinic almost every day. She was bound to them by emotional bonds that just could not shatter.
When Michael and Wendy plan a visit to his father in Maine, Wendy's mom doesn't like the idea. The pressure is wearing Wendy down.
Somehow, Wendy, in her self-centered, vainglorious way, decided that this was the solution to her problem. That if she got rid of Michael, her life would be fine. It was irrational. It was heartless. It was cold. But that's how Wendy's mind worked.
In January 2005, Les Severance waits for his son and his grandchild to arrive for their first visit to Maine.
I come through the door, you know, pumped, you know, let's go. We got to go pick up Mike. And they give me the news that Mike's not coming. Nobody knows where he is.
Says her husband has mysteriously gone missing. A father's instincts say something is wrong.
it was just all piling up that something is amiss here. Something's not right.
Late at night, Wendy Davidson desperately scours the internet. Her searches will leave clues to a murder.
Two things in particular on the computer were a query on polygraph examinations, and then another query on the decomposition of body in water.
As Texas Ranger Sean Palmer begins investigating the disappearance of Michael Severance, Michael's wife, Wendy, becomes the prime suspect.
Surveillance information showed that Wendy Davidson traveled to a ranch that we knew she had access to.
On that ranch is a pond with her dark secret.
The Texas Department of Public Safety dive team assisted with the search of the pond and ultimately discovered Michael Severance's body.
Miles away in Maine, Michael's father receives grim visitors.
And when I pulled in the driveway, I see the Air Force plates. And I really had a hard time coming through the door. I stood out in the driveway for probably 15 minutes because I knew. They told me that they had found Michael's body in the pond.
As police close in, Wendy Davidson panics. She calls her family to a secluded cemetery and makes a strange confession.
She told her brother that I did not kill Michael Severance, but I disposed of his body. She said, because I knew someone in my family must have killed him, and I wanted to protect my family.
But all the evidence is pointing to Wendy.
One of the things that was critical in the investigation was the drugs that she kept at the clinic.
Wendy had altered her logs, covering up the missing drugs that killed her husband.
Law enforcement pieced together all the little bits of evidence and came up with a scenario. Friday evening, Wendy and Michael went out to celebrate the upcoming trip and to have dinner together and a few drinks, and came back to their apartment inside the clinic.
All right, here it comes. One and two.
Law enforcement believes she put a little phenobarbital into the beer that Michael drank.
Man, I could really use a beer right now.
Then they believe the combination of the phenobarbital and the beer that night just put him right to sleep. They believe that when that happened, she pulled out a veterinary syringe, filled it with euthanasia, and slammed that thing into the center of his chest. And pushed down on the plunger, just as she would have done any dog on the table in her clinic.
Its effect would take place immediately, and death would ensue in 2 to 4 minutes. This type of death is relatively painless. They simply fall asleep and stop breathing.
After dumping his body in the stock pond, Wendy thinks she's finished the job. But the investigation later reveals another gruesome fact.
Wendy, a couple of days after her husband's death, had gone online and researched what a body does in water. And she went, oops, I made a mistake. I didn't put enough weights on his body. He is going to rise up to the surface.
Wendy returned to the pond.
She saw the body was indeed rising.
It's not difficult to sink a body, but it's very difficult to keep a body down once it begins to decompose. The process of decomposition and the manufacture of gas in the body is relentless and ongoing.
Wendy has to get rid of the evidence one more time.
She took out her blue veterinary knife and stabbed his body 41 times.
Mutilating a dead body of someone that you supposedly loved? Pretty gruesome thing to do. Pretty incredible thing to do. I think most people can't even begin to imagine themselves doing such a thing. So she got past whatever hurdles she had to get past to do it.
Wendy enters a plea bargain. Convicted of murder, she's sentenced to 35 years in prison. Wendy still claims she is innocent.
I truly believe she feared that Michael was going to leave her and try and get custody of their son.
This is something that you think of every day. This never goes away. Why did they kill little Mikey?
It was a dinner invitation they couldn't refuse.
I'd like to make a toast. Thank you all for being this wonderful occasion.
A new Sing has enticed her fellow law students with a spine-chilling promise.
It's going to be fantastic. I will be a new person.
She told a whole bunch of people,
so much better.
I'm going to commit suicide. Come to my place and we'll have a farewell dinner.
I just feel so good about this.
One person doesn't know of her sinister plan. Her fiancé, Joe.
Somewhere in that process, she said to herself, well, if I'm going to die, Joe should die with me.
It is beyond my comprehension that those at the party that knew what this was all about didn't speak up and stop it.
You got me in suspense. What if I didn't advance? in Canberra, Australia, two university students prepare for a night out.
Great. Oh, hey, you see my wife?
Joe Cinque is smitten with his pretty fiancée, Anu Singh.
I'm fat, look at me.
No, you're beautiful, baby. You look amazing.
But Anu's obsession is herself.
She's also impulsive, immature, rather manipulative, and extremely narcissistic. She really had to be the center of attention.
Need a little bit of help, hello?
Sure. What do I do?
No, do it up.
I'm trying.
Come on, this is not gonna work.
Yeah, maybe you should try that ippy-cack stuff, you know? Like,
do you think it would work?
I don't think you need it, but I mean, if you want to, you could take it. I don't know.
When Joe mentions ippy-cack, an idea takes hold in Anu's mind. Syrup of ipecac is a medicine that induces vomiting. Anu starts to abuse it daily, and soon wastes away to just 88 pounds.
Anu seemed to have a pretty normal life until her mid to late teen years, when her mental illnesses started manifesting. The first one was an eating disorder.
The second one is a dangerous delusion.
Once she started taking the ipecac, she developed this delusion that she was dying. And when I say delusion, I don't just mean a kind of funny idea that all of us have in our heads. This was a psychotic belief which she could not be talked out of.
Clinical psychologist Ken Byrne says Anu sought help, but refuses to believe her doctors.
She was convinced that there was nothing that could be done to help her, that she's going to slowly, gradually waste away. She then became more and more suicidal and made plans to commit suicide. She took a series of carefully thought out steps. She researched suicide at the library. She tried to obtain a handgun.
No, that looks good.
Then she settles on heroin.
Do you still know that guy that goes to uni? Yeah.
Incredibly, no one questions her disturbing plan.
One of the astonishing things about this case is that a whole series of students at the law school had heard her talk about actively planning suicide. And to my knowledge, none of them put their hand up to someone and said, you know, you better go talk to this girl.
She'd be what people would call the drama queen. Things needed to center on Anu.
Anu's defense lawyer, Jack Pappas, found her to be extremely self-absorbed.
Her acting out and her scheming was never about death. It was about the whole drama of her being at the center of attention.
My best friend and we're having a dinner party tonight. You guys are invited. We're
going Anu decides to host a dinner party with her own death as the main attraction.
Wonderful occasion to celebrate us.
As bizarre as it seems that most people at the party knew that it was meant to be a send-off party for Anu Singh.
I know you all know that I have been sick for quite some time, but I know...
And they seemed to take the view that, well, if someone wants to commit suicide, that's their business, not ours.
We all know that I met Joe through a wonderful friend.
But Anu won't die.
love him to pieces.
She wants to take Joe with her, whether he likes it or not.
All right, man, look what you do. This is the heroin. This is what you're going to put inside here, all right?
Yep.
Anu Singh is a law student.
Light it up.
And how much goes in the spoon?
As much as you want.
Taking lessons in depth. She has decided to kill herself.
She tracks down a chap at the law school. He supplies her with heroin.
And put this around your hand, all right?
Sure.
Put this up here, yeah? Put that in your mouth and pull it real tight. Now we're gonna find a vein.
She's got someone who sold heroin to teach her how to inject it.
You have absolutely nothing to do with it.
So there's no question this was a clearly planned out effort.
Alright. How much do you want?
Enough for two over.
She suffered from clinical depression. She suffered from psychosis.
Yeah.
She did not even know what was real and what was not.
Is that enough?
Anu has a strong delusion. She thinks she's dying from using syrup of Ipecac. It's a medicine her boyfriend suggested might help her lose weight.
An important part of Miss Singh's character is that she's very childlike and narcissistic. And so that in her view of the world, when something goes wrong, it must be someone's fault. And that it was his fault.
Now she blames Joe for her imagined illness. She wants to kill herself and take him with her.
The idea was that she would have a dinner party effectively as her send-off because she was going to commit suicide. It was like a Last Supper.
Anu plans to heavily sedate Joe with Rohypnol.
Rohypnol is a date rape drug. It causes very rapid loss of consciousness and causes somebody to fall asleep. It also tends to decrease a person's memory of any of the events that occurs to them.
Once her dinner guests leave, Anu begins stage two of her scheme. Joe Chinkwe is now at the mercy of the woman he loves.
She used enough heroin to kill two horses. It was a massive, massive dose of heroin.
Come on, darling, it'll be all right. I promise this won't hurt.
Heroin is a central nervous system depressant. As the person's respirations become depressed, less blood is flowing to the body, less oxygen to the brain, and the person begins to suffer from brain damage.
It won't be the peaceful departure Anu hopes for.
Fluid builds up in the lungs. It causes the accumulation of frothy fluid in the airways, which can then exude out the mouth and nose.
The nature of the murder might have started out as some kind of a romantic fantasy of leaving the world together and being forever together. But that fantasy was long since gone.
Joe! No, wake up! Joe! Oh!
In a panic, Anu calls emergency.
Where are you?
Oh, it's 79. No, wait, it's 30,
but repeatedly gives the wrong information.
Oh.
So this is this, you know, self-involvement, wanting to protect herself, a poor judgment, erratic thinking.
There's blood everywhere. Blood stuff. Is that a bad sign?
Joe could have been saved had he gotten rapid medical attention.
But Joe Cinque is dead. And Anu has not kept her part of the deal. She doesn't try to join him.
She had every opportunity to kill herself at the end, if she'd been serious about it. And yet she never even attempted, so far as anyone could ever discover, to inject herself at that time.
Anu Singh is charged with murder.
The prosecution were of the view that she was a highly intelligent girl, and she was, who had determined that she could get away with murder and was smart enough to feign mental illness.
But her defense proves Anu is mentally ill at the time of the murder.
Anu was compelled to carry out a fantasy that involved death.
She had a psychological condition that made her less responsible for her actions than you or I.
Found guilty of manslaughter, Anu is sentenced to 10 years in prison. She serves a total of 4 and now lives in Sydney, Australia.
Maybe if one person had gone to someone in authority, maybe this boy would still be alive.
Police officer Glenn Turner was too young to die. Just 31, he has suffered a slow, agonizing death.
He called me on the phone. He was just deathly sick. I don't know what's wrong with me. I feel like I'm about to die. You could actually hear the shaking in his voice as he talked.
While Glenn's family and colleagues mourn, one person barely sheds a tear. His wife.
My gut instinct at that very moment, and for those first few days, was that she had done something to him.
Oh, my baby! Oh. Oh. Ah. Press County 201. Rush back.
There are certain women who are attracted to cops.
Cop County, your job, 791.
Right.
Lynn back. Turner is one of those women.
Some women have a neurotic attraction to power. And uniforms, badges, they represent power and authority in our society.
Working in police radio dispatch, the glamorous 22-year-old is surrounded by the men she craves. But Lynn Turner's smile hides a darker side.
She has an aggressive personality, a manipulative personality, a controlling personality.
In Cobb County, Georgia, police officer Mike Archer knew her as a woman to keep well away from.
She didn't have a real, real good reputation, and she was just kind of sneaky.
Lynn was dangerous to any man who had a wallet and a badge.
After hours, Lynn stalks the officers' favorite bars in Marietta, Georgia. It's here she meets officer Glenn Turner.
Glenn didn't have any enemies. Glenn just got along with everybody, and he was very gullible. Just a very easygoing, likable big teddy bear guy.
Singled out by the sexy brunette, Glenn falls quickly under her spell.
Fairly attractive lady. And for Glenn, it was, you know, Glenn wasn't the best looking guy. He wasn't in the best physical shape. He wasn't chiseled or anything. But and for Glenn, Lynn was a catch.
Just 2 months later, Glenn announces his engagement.
I was just shocked. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Simply because her background didn't fit Glenn's personality.
It seems like a happy marriage. But Glenn soon finds his classy wife is a big spender.
So, tell me about your day.
Lynn would use sex and gifts to get a man interested in her. But once she married Glenn, the sex stopped. She wasn't really in love with him. She was in love with what his money could do for her.
2 years on, Glenn Turner has had enough. He wants a divorce. But Lynn wants his money. And she'll get more if her husband is dead. Then, Glenn is struck by a mystery illness.
I mean, just called me on the phone, said I'm just so sick. I've had extreme diarrhea. I mean, I'm throwing up. I've been throwing up for 2 days. I can't stop. I don't know what's wrong with me. I feel like I'm about to die.
Days later, the healthy police sergeant is dead.
Judith Fannin, who had called me and told me that they found Glenn dead in bed.
Mr. Detective, I came up here to see if he wanted a glass of water, and he was dead.
Instinctively, Glenn's police buddies are suspicious.
I took him to the hospital earlier, and they sent him home. They said he'd be okay.
You sure about that?
Yeah.
We had the discussion about the possibility that Lynn had done something to Glenn. And everybody was in agreement that we thought something was that happened.
But the autopsy says a virus simply caused Glenn's big heart to stop.
Get me out of here.
I accepted it. I said, okay, you know, he got sick, and he pretty much, that's what got him.
After the funeral, Lynn collects Glenn's insurance payout and quickly leaves town, straight into the arms of a new police officer, Randy Thompson. Later, Mike Archer gets a chilling phone call.
And I said, what is it? He goes, no, you need really need to sit down. I sat down, and he said, they found Randy. And Randy was about 32 years of age. He said, they found Randy dead in his bed yesterday morning.
His mind races to one conclusion.
I mean, then I knew she had done something. I knew they were going to be connected. I mean, I was just skin, you know, my hair was all up on the back of my neck. I mean, it was just my heart was pounding. I said, you know, something's up, something's up.
Lynn Turner loves a man in uniform.
There were two things in life very important to Lynn. One was that her husband be a cop. The other was that she'd be able to spend a lot of money.
The problem is, Lynn's men in uniform keep dying.
Lynn was a black widow in every sense of the word. She mated, she killed, and moved on to the next person.
When 32-year-old Randy Thompson falls ill, it seems like a severe flu.
He was treated for the symptoms, diagnosed with gastritis, and then released with medication.
Come on, keep it.
People talked to him the next day. He seemed to be getting better. So it was a surprise then when he was discovered dead.
On its own, Randy's death doesn't seem strange. But Lynn Turner has lost a man before. Glenn Turner's sudden death left his fellow officers suspicious. When they hear about Randy Thompson, they hit the phones.
I knew right then that Lynn had, you know, murdered both of them. And there was no doubt in my mind Lynn married both of them, and both of them was for money.
Get me out of here.
For money and for greed.
You had young men about the same age. They were both healthy. They should not have died just having the flu. What these two men had in common at the times that they died were this woman.
A red flag is up. The medical examiner is looking for something suspicious.
During the autopsy of Randy, the medical examiner discovered crystals in the kidneys, which was an indication of poisoning.
Six years after his death, Glenn Turner's body is exhumed. He, too, has an awful secret.
Ultimately, they both died of ethylene glycol poisoning.
Ethylene glycol is a liquid found in the garages of millions of Americans. Most people know it as antifreeze. To Lynn Turner, it's a murder weapon. Hidden in a bowl of Jell-O.
Ethylene glycol is a slightly sweet, odorless substance. It can be disguised rather easily in Jell-O or tea or a soft drink. But once it's ingested within a matter of several hours, the individual begins to get extremely sick. They will experience headache, confusion, abdominal pain. They will be disoriented. And frequently, they will start to experience abnormal bleeding in their body as well.
You know, at any time, certainly while she watched these men suffer, she could have decided that she didn't want to do this, that it was not the right thing to do. She actually had the opportunity to stop it.
Lynn killed with antifreeze because it was easy. She didn't have to get dirty or bloody or stab him or anything like that. And she could secretly put it in something he was eating or drinking, and quietly kill him. She thought she could get away with it.
Found guilty of 2 counts of murder, she was sentenced to life without parole.
When they said guilty, 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 I mean, it was just, it's like a load had been lifted off of you. I mean, it was just like, you know, thank God. Especially for Glenn's family.
I think she's broken and can't be fixed. There's just some inner core to her that she doesn't have, that bit of humanity that the rest of us do.
Lynn Turner died in prison in August 2010. These deadly women had a blueprint for murder. Wendy Davidson precisely plotted her husband's death. Anu Singh planned murder like a dinner party. And Lynn Turner served a fatal dessert. When men got in the way, death was part of a careful plan to kill in cold blood.